gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Wow, check me out. Look at this.
What?
Dan Restrepo, he's former White House Director of Western Hemisphere Affairs. How about that?
That sounds fancy.
To talk about
half the world.
Right? To talk about Mitt Romney's foreign policy speech.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, finger quotes over each one of those words.
As I said
foreign
at the top.
Policy
right.
speech.
At the top, it would have been devastated if any of it were true. That sounds bad. The president has signed no foreign trade agreements at all? Wow, that's horrible. Yeah,
except for the ones he did sign.
Except for the three. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, okay. And the other areas where his policy is exactly the same as Obama's, except he does this with his hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Reality's a slippery slope.
All right. Also, we have David Schuster of Current TV, the most interesting man in the world, coming up, and Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on The Big Show, waiting all my life to say this, Carol Burnett.
I know. Wow.
Which will just consist of my incoherent babbling about how great she is. And also Jason Alexander, and
yeah.
I'll probably do the same thing with him. So tune in tomorrow. All right.
Well, Jason Alexander's been in studio with us.
Uh-huh.
I know, right?
So
he's awesome.
Nothing to be nervous about there. He's cool.
I still am.
All right.
Okay. Carol, and you know, people go like this around Jim Ward, you know, because he has his everybody's new favorite,
yeah.
Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
Thank you.
Actually, Reinhold. Reince Priebus!
Yes, because he is as whiny as Jim portrays him.
Everything he says, he just sounds like he's just in a really bad mood. Like someone just sat in his balls or something.
What?
Maybe he sat naked in wicker?
That could
Let's
be. That
there.
Could be. And stood up too quickly? Yes.
Exactly.
It happens.
And is carrying the chair with him. And who wouldn't be whiny?
Ow. I hate wicker.
Can you get this off me, honey? Okay, Carol, because Carol is more immature than we are. Steph, every time I see her here at Reince Priebus, it makes me think of that little twerp who sat next to me in fifth grade who picked his nose and ate. Oh,
right. Oh. He probably did that. He was probably that
guy.
He does
look like that kid. That's gross, Carol.
Of course, I remember school lunches. Probably wasn't that much different.
Who could tell the difference?
Yeah.
All right. We have lots to cover because it is insane, a campaign entirely of weasels and liars, isn't it?
Mm.
I was tired of campaigning. I've been reacting too slow. Like a worn out recording of some old Hannity show. And as I was debating, I read the Washington Times, and there in the opinions, an editorial chime. If you like weasels and liars, and job destroyers at Bain, if you're not into truth much, and just have half of the brain, if you like watching Fox News all night, and your logic's insane,
speaking of weasels,
yes.
Brian walked out on a.
Oh, we have that on here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Because he dared to ask him some questions.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Something's getting testy on debate week.
The best thing to help prevent violent crime in the inner cities is to bring opportunity in the inner cities, is to help people get out of poverty in the inner cities, is to help teach people good discipline, good character.
Sure.
That is civil society. That's what charities and civic groups and churches do to help one another make sure that they can realize the value in one another.
And you can do all that by cutting taxes, right, with a big tax cut.
Those are yours, not mine.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow.
That was kind of strange. You're trying to stuff words in people's mouths?
As he was taking off his mic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baby doesn't like our questions. Baby doesn't like... Oh, no.
God.
Wow. That's his job as, like, official whiner of the campaign?
Yeah.
The media's biased against
him. Ask me questions. You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, as you were saying yesterday, these I love the people that like a week ago were saying the polls are wrong
yeah.
and it's liberal media bias, and now that you know they're tightening, it's, oh, now they're looking
now
at
the polls. Now absolutely correct.
Perfect.
Boy, we sort of fell down in the job of that whole polling conspiracy, didn't we? By the way, Jim just asked the question after looking at some of the polls. Are Americans just stupid? And I just, when you said that, the headline popped up, man dies after live road cheating contest.
Yes.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Died of stupidity.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they say
the
that
polls
it's
tightening in Florida. Just saying.
Well, dear. It is Florida.
Oh dear. Okay.
Well, but I mean, just after one debate, suddenly everything flips.
I know. Romney's been running one of the most disastrous campaigns in history. We'll see. I'm looking forward to the vice presidential debate.
Yeah.
I think they will unleash both the Kraken and the Biden. That's why I think.
Biden.
I think Ryan's doing a duty in his pants. I think that's why he's so cranky and colicky. Someone has not changed his nappy.
You can't ask me questions. Don't ask me no questions.
Right.
I won't tell you no lies.
Well, I'll probably tell lies anyway. But
yeah. But I'm just saying, I just saw the president live here in L.A. on Sunday, and I think he's got the mojo back. Melissa Fitzgerald, our friend, was in yesterday, and she said, I think this is what we needed to shake us out of complacency.
Absolutely.
Because people
I
were
totally
like,
agree.
Oh, yeah, we're going to.
It's in the bag. God, I need to vote.
You know what it is? It's idiotic national figures saying things like Larry the Landslide Lizard and stuff like that.
Way to go, Steph.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for losing the election for us.
Nicely done. Thanks for depressing turnout.
Yeah.
With your premature end zone dance. All right. In the first national poll to be conducted entirely after the opening debate, Governor Romney now up by 4 points. And they're all close, but you're right, Jim. A lot of them it just is sort of incredible. 49% to 45.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, as you've said, Chris, don't matter a lot.
The national polls, they've been sort of... The battleground state polls are tightening, but the majority of them still favor Obama.
Yeah.
So.
But just looking at the electoral map, though, the projections are... There were over 300
right,
at
and
one
Obama's
point.
Still
now
way
they're
ahead.
Below 270.
Right.
Still way ahead, but
yeah.
But that's
well. I mean,
huge.
But check this out. Some of the polling's also a little over the place. Republican leading Rasmussen has Romney up by 2 points. So I mean,
well, it also depends on when that poll was taken. Was it taken before the
Rasmussen? Wait a minute, hang on a second. Rasmussen's Monday poll conducted entirely after debate and partially following the release of Friday's encouraging jobs report. The two candidates were tied.
Okay.
So. Rasmussen has them tied, and that's the right-wing poll.
Right.
So Gallup reported Monday Obama and Romney were tied in the 3 days immediately following the debate. Obama led by 5 in the 3 days prior. But on Monday, Gallup's tracking, which is based on 7-day rolling, Obama again led by 5.
Okay.
So you figured that out.
Well, wow.
I don't.
Yeah.
Poll tracker average now shows Romney in a 3-point lead. Blah, 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 over Obama. I don't know. So,
well, maybe as people digest what Romney was saying and realize it's all a load of crap.
Yes, including yesterday's load of foreign policy crap.
No, yeah. Unfortunately, people
It was
don't.
Just like the domestic crap, only
yeah.
people, foreign policy.
People don't pay attention to the details,
his
unfortunately.
Nice hair.
Yeah. That's.
He seemed to be very convincing what he was saying.
Can
I have another life, Roach? Okay.
No, he seemed confident.
Point is
well,
that
unfortunately, that's.
In his lies.
What people pay attention to.
Yeah.
Okay, Virginia voters warmed to Romney, because this is what you were just saying, the important thing is the battleground.
Right.
Virginia voters warmed to Romney after debate, but race hardly changes. Romney had drastically increased his standing with the Virginia voters, but Obama still leads 50 to 47.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's always been a tight one.
Right.
More voters continue to trust Obama on the economy. That represents little change from the last poll of the state when Obama held a 51-46 advantage over Romney. So but you're right, Jim. It is amazing to the degree in some of the polls that one debate has changed just an incredibly disastrous campaign.
Right.
So there you go. You happy mainstream media? You got to fight them now. Fight.
Congratulations.
Let's all shove each other into lockers.
At least those are the polls that the mainstream media is reporting.
Yeah, I can. I'm getting confused on which conspiracy did I cook the job numbers more or the polls? I don't. The hell? All right. Look, it's the John and Pam show, everybody, from Ohio. Let's see what they're at. Yeah, you need strings.
From Ohio,
guitar.
It's the John and Pam show. It's the John and Pam show.
Good morning, John and Pam.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Stephanie. Good morning, Jim and Chris. I am so mad.
Why are you mad, Pam?
How dare him stand up in front of those military flags and give a foreign policy speech? That man, the only thing that man knows foreign is his bank account over in the Caymans. He ran away from the war.
He ran away to a foreign place.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, sweetheart. Not once, but four times.
That's right.
And he wants to stand up. That man is going to put us in another war. And the people, these people better wake up that support this idiot and vote him out before he even gets in.
I was just going to say, okay, I was confused. Vote him out. No, vote him, don't vote him in. All right, Pam, you're in a state, my friend.
Here's John. Hey, he's got something to say real fast.
Okay. All right, you need to calm down.
Stephanie, I'm going to have me a drink before
all right,
noon.
I think you should.
Yes, a nice breakfast cocktail.
John on. The chicks are hysterical.
We got another way the Republicans are trying to stifle the absentee ballots here in Ohio. What they're doing is each ballot at different parts of the state, you have to put different amount of postage on it and that and everything. And they're not going back to where they're supposed to be because you don't know how much postage to put them on.
Yeah, I read a... interesting. Did you read, Jim, it was the L.A. Times or New York Times? There was kind of a scary piece about voting by mail and how many more ballots are getting thrown out in some places. Yeah. All right. Thank you, kids. Love you.
I love you. Love you guys, too.
I love you guys.
Oh, I love you, too.
You hang in there.
Well, remember all those Al Gore ballots that wound up in the trunk of a car that was in a swamp?
I think they actually ended up in Jeb Bush's... buddy's swimming pool somewhere, bottom of the, I don't know, the ocean, somewhere. All right.
Or a swamp.
What?
Or a swamp.
It was like, it was like that scene from The Sopranos where they shoot, what's his name, Big Pussy at the end.
I didn't watch The Sopranos.
Yeah. That was, they took the ballot boxes out on a boat and then, Jeb Bush's buddies. Okay. That was probably a tortured analogy.
That was a little clunky.
Not very current.
And yet we're on current TV.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and type in that there promo code Stephanie.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's Sue in Rockville, Maryland, everybody. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. First, a shout-out to Current, because all of you on Current TV are the only, and I mean only, news network on TV that has not gone crazy over the debate and not played this, what I call media masturbation, and gone crazy about polls and the president's performance. So thank you. Thank you for some sanity. Okay. I have a challenge for all your listeners and viewers today. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, I challenge anyone who is going to vote for Obama last Wednesday morning who believes in women's rights, marriage equality, the Dream Act, the rich paying all of 3-4% more in taxes to support us, that has now fully changed their minds because the president had an off night, that they're willing to compromise all their values and vote for someone who's a bully and a pathological liar.
And Sue, you know what?
Sure. But he looks like a winner, so... We want to be with the cool kids.
Yeah, but, you know, Sue, that's exactly the point, is just wait. Just everybody settle. I think Joe Biden is going to knock it out of the park Thursday. In fact, a lot of people have said he's a better debater than the president. Everybody's always talked about
Joe Biden.
It's
going to be a big effing deal.
It is going to be a big effing deal, is my point. Sue, the other thing is we got two more presidential debates, and I think that after the smoke has cleared, don't you think on this last debate, it really is stunning the amount of just outright lies Romney told. So now where does he go?
There's
a headline today, big gaps in Romney's plan on pre-existing conditions. He absolutely flat out lied. His plan does not cover pre-existing. That's just one example.
And Daily Coast put up a couple of good things of Mitt debating himself. And that's what right. people have to just do, is show this. And then there was another one today from 2006 where Governor Romney is talking about how declining employment is unemployment is good. And he inherited a mess. And then we're in an upward, you know, in a downward trend, and how important it is. And there are so many other factors.
You know how I know things are looking up both politically and comedically, Sue?
Yes.
Road Flair Mary's on the phone from Chicago.
And now, on the phone from Chicago.
Hold on, everybody, it's Road Flair Mary.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. You should be honored.
We are.
I am. I'm excited.
Good. I just want to say that you keep calling Romney a liar.
Yes.
Well, you know, why don't you check your facts? The last 4 years, this administration, they are nothing but liars.
About what?
About what?
About everything.
No, that's not good enough.
Well, you gotta give me some specifics.
Everything.
Like
no.
what?
Everything.
Like what?
Everything.
I know you are, but what am I?
The economy.
This is going better than usual, well, isn't it, between us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
How did they?
You
oh,
call,
wait.
You call him
wait, he lied
a
about
liar.
The economy meeting. Did they cook the jobs? Are you a,
well, you know what?
Are you a jobs
things,
truther?
Things have not gotten better. They've gotten worse.
Yes, they have.
They've gotten demonstrably better.
What are you going to talk about?
It's math.
When President
it's,
Romney...
It's math. We were losing 800,000 jobs a month.
No, when... wrong. Where do you get your facts?
Directly out of my ass.
The
you
Bureau
get
of Labor Statistics, Mary.
That's
you're
what they do.
Do not... You all got
okay, do you not
noses.
Believe that the unemployment rate has dropped
brown
to 7.8?
Noses, okay?
You're a brown I'm, noser.
Yeah.
God,
Al
Gore,
what was it with the elevation? What was he smoking? Really?
I beg your pardon. I don't believe the vice president was smoking anything.
Well, that
he
was
he had
good.
An opinion.
Okay, was it the air?
Well,
was
he had an opinion
air?
As to
really.
If you heard
really?
Our shows from
you
Denver 4 years
you
ago,
Romney, Romney has
I'm really loopy in Denver.
Yeah, everybody's loopy in
you
Denver.
You know what it is? It's that bay. Pardon me.
Yeah.
We love you, Denver. City by the bay.
What? So why? Because Al Gore expressed an opinion. Why is that?
No, it's because you. You and yours keep saying he's a liar.
Well,
he's a
because
liar.
He's
he is.
A
liar.
He
you know what?
He's been fact-checked by
president. Let's see how much you call him a liar.
He has been fact-checked by independent organizations,
yeah,
not just
well,
me.
Yeah,
their whole
who,
job
who are
is
they?
To check.
Who are they? Oh, who are they from Chicago?
For instance, Mary, let's
well,
try
you're
to focus.
Chicago.
Really, I live in
you're
Chicago.
From Chicago.
I know how.
I think you know what I think. I think you're playing Chicago style politics, Mary.
No. That's how they play here.
Okay, Mary, let's just take yesterday, because it's hard to focus on one Romney lie. But yesterday, he said, President Obama, what was the he said? President Obama has not signed one new free trade agreement in the past 4 years and promised to reverse that failure.
It's not true. That's a lie.
President Obama has signed three foreign...
This guy does know nothing about foreign... Four Americans died on his watch.
What?
Four? What, would you like to compare that to George Bush?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? This is now...
Oh, so it doesn't
now.
Matter
oh,
what
okay,
happened?
Okay, so
right.
crimes in the past don't matter.
They don't exist.
Now? What's going on now?
This is a Minority Report.
Yeah.
What's going on now?
Uh-huh. Okay, so you didn't address what I just
about,
said. So Mitt Romney...
What about the 2007 tape that showed the real Obama with his people?
Oh,
what?
The one that would hit the news in 2007?
Yeah,
that one?
Real,
from
yeah, the ones that
right.
NBC
and what did he say? What did he say that was
to?
So bad? What did he say in that tape?
Okay. What do you go, Reverend White, his people, Katrina, 9/11.
Oh, yeah, he said that he thought
the
government
Obama.
Response was not good to Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, that's
so controversial.
Real, oh,
yeah.
That's shocking. Did
his
you think
people,
the, did you think the government response to
people,
Hurricane Katrina was good?
Heck of a job, Brownie.
His people.
And please answer the question.
What did you ask?
Exactly.
You would give me a second, Mary. I said, do you think the government's response to Hurricane Katrina was good?
Well, you know, that's for them. And
huh?
how
that's
it
for
went
them?
Down
what?
In Katrina, you know, there's different circumstances.
You know, if we were in a debate, that
again,
you've got no
you
points for whatever that was.
Either, right?
All right. Mary, okay. I wish that we weren't at a hard break because I miss you already. Call me again, okay?
I don't think so.
Come on. Mary, don't play hard to get. You know you want it.
Our ratings go up every time you call in, Mary.
You know you want it.
No
you
crying.
Don't
there's
you.
No crying at the bake.
Huh?
She is completely incomprehensible this morning. All right.
I love her.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
smell that? Something's on fire. Oh, it's you.
Stephanie Miller.
You're smoking.
Yeah, that's right. Me and Road Flare Mary.
Smoking Road Flares.
Road Flare Mary, she has some very inappropriate tweets. That is just...
Yeah, if you follow Road Flare Mary on Twitter, you'll get some of her wisdom.
Oh, she's hysterical this morning. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Dan Restrepo, now how about a job? This is I don't even know if there's a card big enough. Former White House Director of Western Hemisphere Affairs.
Yes.
The entire hemisphere, how about that?
Wow.
That's a big effing deal.
In the National Security Council. And the former Chief Latin American Advisor on the 08 campaign joins us now. Dan, your card has to be enormous.
If it folds open.
It must look like one of those giant golf checks on TV. It's that big. So let's talk about, obviously the critics have kind of torn apart Mitt Romney's foreign policy speech. Let's start with the blatant untruth about that the president has not signed one new free trade agreement in the past 4 years.
Well, he's right. He didn't sign one. He signed three.
Yes.
Right.
Well, in that sense, yeah. He's right. Yes.
In fact, I was there when he signed two of them. The president signed, improved, mind you, and then signed and got Congress to approve free trade agreements with South Korea, with Colombia, and with Panama.
Right.
These are deals that are much better today than they were when George Bush left them unfinished. And they're creating tens of thousands of new jobs, good exporting jobs here in the United States rather than exporting jobs overseas, which is Romney's specialty at Bain.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys must need a thesaurus for different ways to not exactly say liar, but Secretary of State Madeleine Albright said she felt that Romney's understanding of foreign policy is very shallow. She said when you get to the specifics, you don't get the sense that he knows exactly what tools to use and how to operate with an international setting. This is kind of typical of what the Romney campaign does, is kind of assert something that's simply not true.
Repeatedly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and now we've just moved to foreign policy from the domestic untruths he was telling a couple of days ago. So, and obviously, I don't know if you read the piece in Politico, but it just the headline is "Experts Pan Foreign Policy Speech," and again, in a sort of a nonpartisan fashion, right? These are just foreign policy experts, not particularly one stripe or another, right?
Yeah, the interesting thing here, this is the seventh time Romney's tried articulating a foreign policy in this campaign, and pretty much every time he does it, it's this kind of vacuous approach. It's based on very superficial understanding of the world today. He seems kind of stuck in 1950 or so. and he gets panned not just by Democrats, he gets panned by Republicans. There's a real debate within the Republican Party about kind of what the world looks like. And quite frankly, Mitt Romney can't figure out which side of that debate to come down on, which makes for a jumbled approach like you saw in his speech yesterday and in the six attempts before that. The guy just doesn't seem to understand the world as it exists today.
Right.
Doesn't have a plan for going forward in the world that exists today.
Well, yeah, I think Madeleine Albright was referring to him calling Russia America's number one geopolitical foe. He said Romney promised to engage the former superpower if elected. He actually said in Europe, where Putin's Russia casts a long shadow over young democracies, oh, my God, it's Sarah Palin's giant floating Putin head again.
Wow.
And Madeleine Albright said, of the various weird things Governor Romney has said, his position on Russia is truly out of date.
The speech, those parts of the speech were from, like, the height of the Cold War. And apparently nobody told Romney that the century changed.
but as usual, and this is, I think goes for both foreign and domestic policies, there's no specifics. Again, Madeleine Albright said, I just find him very shallow. To those not totally into foreign policy, it sounds pretty good, but it's really full of platitudes. I'm a professor. If one of my students turned that in, he'd get a C because he gave absolutely no specifics. Correct?
Yeah, it's kind of this vacuous set of talking points rather than anything approaching a coherent worldview or a coherent strategy for defending U.S. national security, defending U.S. national interests. It's not even particularly, the old phrase that you campaign in poetry and govern in prose, it's not even particularly good poetry. And when it comes to national security, the prose, costs people's lives if you do it wrong.
Yeah.
And we've seen that, unfortunately, the hard way over the last decade, quite frankly, of our history. And he just comes up real short on the commander in chief test. He repeatedly tries taking the test, right?
Well,
the seventh time he's tried taking the test, and he can't muster anything better than a C for Madeleine Albright.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the other thing, Dan, it seems to me, is he's having the same problem as he's having on domestic issues is, you know, there's all this tape of the Republican primaries, and on issue after issue, he has to do a complete reversal. He said on the stage with Rick Perry, he said, one of the things we have to do with our foreign aid commitments, the ongoing foreign aid commitments, I agree with Governor Perry, you start everything at zero. Well, of course, yesterday he completely reversed that position, you know, just like every other policy of his, right?
Yeah, I mean, consistency is not a strong suit for Governor Romney, and nor is dealing with reality. I mean, those two things, and you really saw it in yesterday's speech. You know, he talked about the Middle East. It almost sounded like he was pining for Mubarak and Gaddafi, and, you know, it would have been nice if the fruit vendor in Tunisia had never set himself on fire and started the Arab Spring. I mean, it's just a very strange way of looking at the world. That, and he looks like he's itching for another war.
Yeah.
It's not clear whether he wants that war in Syria or if he wants it in Iran, but he's, you know, to the extent that he has any specifics, it seems that what the world is missing is more wars. And, you know, I don't think that's where the American people are. It's certainly not where this president is. He's responsibly ended the war in Iraq. He's responsibly ending the war in Afghanistan. So the lack of details and just, again, the lack of clarity about where he wants to take the world and how he understands it.
Well,
and the consistency thing that you pointed out, he's got a real problem with consistency.
Yeah, and Dan, as you brought up, I mean, you know, the experts are saying Afghanistan was largely a punt in this speech. And I love this part. Romney said at one point, in this old Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as in every challenge we face in the Middle East, only a new president will bring the chance to begin anew. Well, this is the guy that was just caught on tape saying he's going to kick that can down the road.
Yeah.
I mean.
I guess starting anew for him means, you know, doing nothing about it and kicking the can down the road. Again, his whole campaign seems predicated on amnesia right now, the American
exactly.
people. That we had forgotten what he said, what he's campaigned over the last 18 months. And he's shameless about it. The debate performance was based on mass amnesia, that nobody would remember that he actually is for a $5 trillion tax cut for the wealthiest before he purported to be against it during the debate. And the same on foreign aid, on a number of things. Time and time again over the course, particularly over the course of the last 10 days, this is a guy who wants to bend reality to suit his political interests.
At the moment, though, I think he's almost like a sociopath or something. He believes he's telling the truth, even if it completely contradicts something he said the day before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he's the one with amnesia. He forgot what he believed 5 minutes ago.
Right. I mean, and Dan, it seems like there's four key areas where his foreign policy is strong, and that's where it's exactly identical to the president's. But, I mean, I don't know. Some of his Afghanistan, Syria, Iran, free trade, didn't he essentially say the same thing the Obama administration is already doing?
Yeah, but of course he criticized it first. I mean, that's the beauty of what he's doing.
Right, here's what I do.
I think Iran is the best example of this. He repeatedly says the president isn't doing enough, and then to the extent that he gets into any details, he says he'd impose sanctions. Well, we've imposed the most comprehensive set of sanctions that the Iranian leadership's ever faced. He says that we would leave all options on the table. The president of the United States has left all options on the table. And he might as well be reading our talking points on that, except for his starting premise is to say we're doing everything wrong, and then says he would do exactly what we were doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we keep making a joke about that commercial about the guy that says the same idea, but he did this with his hands. I mean, that's literally, right? I mean, you can go, you know, Romney endorsed on Syria. He's endorsed providing military aid to relevant third-party states. Well, the Obama administration has already approved the provision of assistance to Syrian rebels through friendly Arab states. It's like, I mean, it just is incredible, right?
Yeah, it is. The interesting, I think the one thing that got a little lost in that, it was a little disturbing, his connection between Iraq and Syria. Kind of the Bush war of choice in Iraq and the language that Romney used in his speech yesterday to link that to, you know, to the freedom agenda, if you will, to link Syria in that way. It really begs the question of, is that all he wants to do, which is what we're already doing? Or is there something more behind that?
Right.
Does he believe the WMDs?
And that's kind of one of those unanswered questions right now,
right.
Yeah.
Where, as Secretary Albright and others have pointed out, there's a total lack of detail behind his kind of top-line messages on these issues.
Right. Well, Afghanistan, for instance, Romney pledged he will, quote, pursue a real and successful transition to Afghan security forces by the end of 2014, which is precisely the same,
yeah.
The same
almost
position.
Almost verbatim what yes. The president has said.
Yes. Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing, is he's either vague or, I mean, it gets to the point of a comedy. Who was it, Chris? Which was it, Sununu? Which surrogate said, you know, the president didn't kill bin Laden fast enough?
Yeah, it was Sununu.
Like, what? I mean, how do you even respond to that?
Right. Yeah, and that's their argument on the free trade deals. When they're not denying that the president signed these free trade deals, they try making that same argument. Well, he didn't do it fast enough. Well, you know, again, governing's a little more complicated than that, and they have a real hard time with reality right now. They have a real hard time with the truth, because they're, you know, they're very bent on presenting this picture of unreality in hopes that the American people will swallow it come November 6th.
Yep. Romney is the backseat driver going, thank God we're in this car because I rescued the auto industry. You know, it's like, here's what you should do. It's like, what? No, you didn't. Dan, great stuff. Thanks for breaking it all down with us, and love to talk to you again soon as the campaign rolls along.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Dan. There he goes. Dan Restrepo, whose title is too long for me to read again, but he's very fancy.
He has a lot of title.
He's in charge of the Western Hemisphere. So just do it. He's the boss of you.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Do it. Do what he says.
Do it. 45 minutes to the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Uh-oh, a discussion has broken out during the commercial break,
yeah.
Whether Rhodes Claire Mary is from the Second City in Chicago, from an improv group, or whether she's for real. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800, who can say?
I'm just worried she's going to bust out the N-word at some point, and we'll have to hit the button, just be hovering over the button.
He's got cat-like reflexes.
Yeah, I just love that she calls.
Yeah. Okay.
When Travis was screening her, he put up on the screen what she wanted to talk about. Then he said, okay, what's your name? And she said, guess.
Yes. And then the phlegmy cough was,
right.
was the giveaway.
Yeah.
And another thing.
Carol in Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi. I just love all you guys because I agree with everything. Here's my question. Did no one not see the clip of Ann Romney saying, I'm worried about my husband's mental health? And if you watch his behavior, I'm worried about it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems kind of fragile.
Yeah, he seemed a little on something during the debate, yeah.
No one's made anything of that. And how come a jobs report doesn't usurp an idiot on stage lying unbelievably? What's wrong with the American people? Can't they see this like we do?
Well,
give it time. We've got a month, and I think we've got a debate this week. We've got a debate every week. Obviously, the news of the jobs report is settling in. Everybody settle.
Settle down.
Gentle down, everybody.
Settle down now. Odd thing about Romney, though, because he doesn't believe he's lying. He actually believes what he's saying at the moment, even if it completely contradicts what he just said.
Yeah.
It's maybe that's what you meant by his mental health. That he's just kind of skating on the edge of reality.
They're like the Liar family, apparently.
Yeah.
Dinner must be like, you know, past the gravy. That's not gravy. No, it isn't. Yes, it is.
Oh, God.
LaTanya in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, LaTanya.
Hi, Steph.
Oh, hello.
I was calling because Rhodes Claire Mary, was it me or did she sound better?
Yeah, maybe she's cut. Maybe because we kidded her, she's cut down onto, you know, a pack of Rhode Flares a day.
Yeah, maybe she's on light Rhode Flares with filters. Maybe she switched to Terrytons.
No, I just think that Romney doing better has made her feel better. Maybe if he were to win, which he won't, maybe she might be cured. I don't know.
I don't know.
Bless her heart.
You know, we kid because we love LaTanya. So maybe us calling her Rhode Flare, maybe that very act is, you know, has made her cut back.
Maybe, but she's going to be very flimmy November the 7th.
I think so.
It's going to be a mess, and she's probably going to drop the N-word a couple times, y'all might not want to talk to her on November the 7th.
She's going to put some tarp down on them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow. You know, now I feel a little bad.
Why?
Maybe she was on the phone to her son in prison saying, you know, something like, does my voice really sound that bad? Why did they call me Ron Flair Mary? And maybe that's what cut back a little bit.
Switch to Terrytons.
Not maybe, a cough and a carload.
Maybe she cried a little pool of tears into her phlegm.
That could be.
Maybe she hacked up some phlegm and then cried into it, and now I feel bad. I'm sorry, Mary, if I hurt your feelings, but I'm glad if you cut back on smoking. It's not good for you.
Well, it made it easy for Sonny to break it to her.
Betty in Floral City, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Betty.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Congratulations to John on his show.
Yay!
Yay!
And I just wanted to say we love our president.
Yes.
And we, the people of Florida, do not wish to be a laughingstock as what happened to us before. And we also did not like the way he spoke to the president or Mr. Lehrer. He showed no respect for either one of them. He reminds me of Mr. Burns from The Simpsons and also Damien from The Omen.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
That's, yeah. It's more
that's
like,
quite a combination.
More like Damien, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something in his eyes.
Tag, this is all for you. Okay. James in Columbia, Tennessee.
God.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, James.
Welcome. Hello. How are you doing this morning?
You no need to welcome me. I'm always here, but go ahead.
Okay. I want to break this down for all those who come from the streets, something like me. We call this the lollipop scenario. So this is the guy comes along when you're in a little jam, in a little trouble, and he tells you everything you want to hear. But then if you don't send your guys out to check out to see if this guy's street cred is what he says it is, then we call you a lollipop. Because that dude is not going to do anything but unwrap you and lick you and take you for everything you have. Mm-hmm. And if we in the United States don't look at this guy's background, that's what he's going to do to us. He's going to unwrap us. Next thing you know, he's going to take a lick. You have no Medicare. You have no Medicaid. You have no Social Security.
Yikes.
And your kids are off the wall.
Well, that's
going to happen.
That's a great big blow pop, that is.
Yes, it is.
All
but,
right.
You know,
I don't know.
That's what we're selling.
All right.
Romney's going to lick us all?
I was going down the lollipop analogy lane with him.
Kind of like that kid that licked the entire length of a New York City subway
on a
railing.
Bet. On a bet.
He won a dollar.
We're a nation of dummies. Jim in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, I don't want to use up too much of your time.
Okay.
But I just want to say, I think, and a lot of people have thought this, and a lot of people have said this, they would not want to play poker with our president. And I think when he had a debate with Romney, I think he had one hell of a hand because Romney showed all of his cards, or most of them.
Right.
And I think on the next debate, our president will have a lot of things to ask this guy to answer for.
Yep, I agree. Oh, wait a minute. I just found some more We're a Nation of Dummies stack.
Okay.
Just to prove my point.
All right.
Truck with meth lab written on it actually was a meth lab. So that was helpful.
Wow.
To the criminals. Cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you need proof that meth rots your brain, look no further than here, folks. The 43-year-old man implicated in this little snafu was driving a mid-80s Ford pickup truck sporting antique vehicle license plates and, of course, the words meth lab scrawled in huge white letters on its back window, which made it very, very helpful for the police.
It is a meth lab.
Okay. That must have been in Alabama or something.
Bless your heart.
We're a Nation of Dummies. Drug stack.
Okay.
Part two. Attorney allegedly drops marijuana joint in court. A city prosecutor in New Orleans was given a summons this week after a joint allegedly fell out of his pocket in court while he was chatting with a police officer.
Mm.
So that happened. Okay. Apparently the cops actually started laughing. They all looked at each other, looked at the joint, and they all just, really?
Really?
I wonder if he wrote joint on it.
Marijuana Hopefully. Cigarette.
Yes.
This is an illegal marijuana cigarette. Jim in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'd just like to say, I think we're all doing Mitt Romney's sales ability a disservice by equating it with that of a used car salesman. And the reason I say that is most people think of Mitt's time in France as like a full-time draft dodging session, and to a large extent that's true.
Yeah.
However, he did have a part-time position converting people's religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, you know, it's one thing to try and sell a car, but that of a religion, when was the last time you tried to convert a Christian to a Muslim or a Muslim to a Jew or a Jew to a Mormon.
Right.
It ain't that easy. And so his belligerent, aggressive demeanor was that not that of a used car salesman.
Yeah, and I know in that story,
quite a lot more advanced.
If he wasn't Mormon, you'd think he was drinking, right? Okay, what you want? A guy named Joe and a white horse? What? You want me to? No.
What?
No.
You want us to stop drinking wine?
No.
Yeah. Nice try.
Wait, I gotta stop drinking. What, a guy named who? Okay.
What? Joseph who?
Are you drunk? A
and
white
the magic
horse?
Magic testicles? What?
58 minutes after the hour. Right back with the most interesting man in the world, David Schuster, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice Andy, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, October 27th in New York City at the Beacon. Going Sexy Liberal Palooza. That's why I'm wearing Boogity Cheese today and a New York t-shirt.
Wow.
Aisha Tyler will be joining us. It's the whole schmageggy. Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, me, and a huge celebrity guest on panel.
I dare say.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
A-list.
In fact, you sent me a story about the person the other day, and
yeah.
I can't do it because I have the worst. I can't control myself, and I would have blurted something out. I couldn't. I just threw it out. I'm like, I can't do this story. Because I'll say something that'll give it away.
Yeah. Zip it.
I'm the loose lip that sunk this ship.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've got a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
And we've done stories about this particular person before. I think we might.
Okay, stop it.
Stop.
Stop
it.
What?
Stop it.
Stop
it. This is hard.
Stop it. This
Stop
is hard.
It.
You want to get in the ring here?
Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Get in the ring.
Get in the ring. Skip
this
it.
Is hard.
Okay. All right. Speaking of real pretty lips.
For current TV, our good friend, David Schuster.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, most interesting.
Oh, you know, and I'm also the luckiest man in the world to be starting my day speaking with you.
No.
I have the vapors. Okay. David Schuster. All right. First of all, before we get into Mitt's foreign policy speech, we were obviously looking at some of the polls, and Jim Ward was expressing some frustration that you were going, let me get this straight. So Mitt Romney's been running pretty much the most disastrous campaign of anybody ever, and won debate, and obviously the polls have tightened considerably.
Flipped.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, a couple of things. Yeah. I mean, President Obama had a disastrous debate, even compared to other debates. And so that was, you know, that was a big problem. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Americans who I suppose are only just starting to tune into this election because they tune out all the noise until the debate. So, you know, the good thing is that there's more than one debate and President
right.
Obama has ample opportunities to come back. And the other thing about it is I think, you know, debates are a lot about the style and tone. They're not about substance. And again, I think as Americans get further and further away from sort of their emotional reaction to Mitt Romney's style and tone and start to worry again about sort of the actual content of the policies, I think the president would be fine.
That's what I was saying. And what is your take? Obviously this week, the vice presidential debate, I'm really excited about that one. What about you?
Yeah, I'm excited because I think, you know, Joe Biden expectations are so low because the Republicans have caricatured him as somebody who can't speak well and makes mistakes all the time and says crazy things like your uncle does. but, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, Joe Biden's actually, he's been around. I mean, he was masterful with the debate with Sarah Palin 4 years ago. He knows these policies. He's been around. He's got a certain sort of human, you know, common touch that I think will serve him extremely well. And Paul Ryan goes into the debate with the perception valid that he can't speak the truth, that he makes things up and lies. And so I think the media is going to be especially critical and watchful of what Paul Ryan is saying. And I think Joe Biden is going to come across as perhaps the most likable person of the four that we see in these debates.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, for, not only, as you just pointed out, I mean, was Paul Ryan fact-checked into oblivion after his speech? I mean, now we've had this debate where the same things happened to Romney. And I think you're right. It's going to put this, I think, on new footing, don't you?
Yeah, and especially because Joe Biden's going to go and fire it up. I mean, he knows as well that President Obama didn't do such a great job, and so Joe Biden's going to relish the opportunity to be the firebrand, the one who sticks it to the Romney Ryan ticket and calls them out on the 47% and calls them out on the ridiculous Medicare plan and calls them out on wanting to cut entitlements. And Joe Biden will do it in a way that I think is very likable. Because again, he's somebody who, you know, he's got the sort of common touch that I think makes him exceptionally appealing on the campaign trail. And look, you know, Joe Biden is as fired up for this debate as I think he could possibly be simply because, you know, he's relevant. He matters. I mean, this vice presidential debate, all of a sudden it matters a lot more than it did a week ago. And I think Joe Biden loves that position.
And we have to hope that Paul Ryan is as easily flustered as he was yesterday by getting an actual question from a reporter. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. And a Michigan reporter, local Michigan reporter. And I'm thinking, okay, if you cannot handle the local political reporter in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or Flint, or whatever it is, there's no way you can stand up. You know, God forbid, you're one heartbeat away from the presidency, and then you got to deal with Vladimir Putin or whoever. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't handle a local Michigan reporter? And look, I'm from the Midwest, and I love people from Michigan, but good grief.
Good grief, Charlie Brown. All right. Speaking of Putin, you know, Sarah Palin warned us about the big, giant, floating Putin head, and that came up in Mitt Romney's speech, didn't it? I mean,
yeah, it did.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Mitt Romney's speech was again, just like his debate, very heavy on style and tone and ridiculous when you look at sort of the substance and content. And the thing that sort of jumped out at me is obviously one of the ways you want to try to control Russia's influence and whatnot is through our influence in the Middle East. And so Mitt Romney did a reversal. It was a Romney versus Romney fest yesterday when he talked about foreign aid. He says, oh, yeah, I think that, you know, we will rally our friends and allies to match our generosity with theirs. And yet, if you go back to the primaries, Mitt Romney jumped on top of, you know, and joined Governor Rick Perry of Texas and saying, oh, with foreign aid, we start everything at zero.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you know, sort of the areas where, you know, the speech was supposed to be, well, Romney's going to draw distinctions with President Obama. The only distinction that I saw was that Romney gave a foreign policy speech yesterday and President Obama did not.
Yeah.
Because when you look at Afghanistan or Syria or Iran or free trade, Romney essentially said things that the administration is already doing.
Yep. I mean, and then Romney said very specific things like this.
America's security and the cause of freedom cannot afford four more years like the last 4 years.
Yeah. Wow. Because that would be bad if we were to have gotten out of Iraq and be getting out of Afghanistan and have killed bin Laden. We can't afford any more of that.
Disastrous.
David Schuster.
We can't, you know what? According to Mitt Romney, we cannot afford to not have any part of our Navy fleet and the aircraft carriers. We cannot afford to no longer have aircraft carriers off the coast in the Eastern Mediterranean. Except, wait a second. The Obama administration already has an aircraft carrier battle group in the Eastern Mediterranean to contain Iran. I mean, so what he was talking about just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
He says, oh, well, you know, in Afghanistan, we're going to pursue a real and successful transition to Afghan security forces by the end of 2014.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's
exactly what the administration
right.
Like
yeah, we were talking about on Afghanistan, Syria, Iran, and free trade. Romney, you're absolutely right. He articulated exactly the policies of the Obama administration.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, the only thing, again, it gets back to, I think, Romney's realizing that the only thing he can perhaps do is maybe he can outmaneuver President Obama in terms of style and tone and hope people forget about the content and substance of what he's saying. And, you know, unfortunately, specifically in television, I think we saw this at the debates, that, you know, President Obama's got to learn that style and tone, unfortunately, matters more and that the content and substance is not as important in terms of overall TV impression. Mitt Romney got that right, and President Obama's going to hit back, and he's going to come back with some better style and tone and be a little bit more sort of likable and engaged. And I think he'll be fine. But, you know, Mitt Romney's, you know, this is the one part of the campaign that I think that Romney's able to do well, in part because his style and because his substance and his content of what he's saying is nonsensical, or the numbers don't add up, or he doesn't use basic math, or he says things that are not true. And so the only thing he has going for him is the idea that he can be polished and seem to be sort of presidential, which I think you get simply by appearing on the same stage as President Obama. But nonetheless, that's what Mitt Romney's banking on right now.
Yep. David, you know, because we haven't talked since the debate, what was your take on what happened? I mean, I, you know, as I've said many times, the only thing is I do have sympathy for the president is that a totally different guy showed up with a totally different set of facts and positions than he was preparing for, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's tough to hit a target that's moving all over the place, and especially one. I mean, Mitt Romney was making stuff up right and left at the debate. I mean, I was blown away, but you know, even by Mitt Romney standards, it was unbelievable. And you know, the thing is, being in Denver, you could tell the president was nervous to start, as I think anybody would be when you know 50 million people were tuning in and you haven't debated for a little while. So the president was nervous, which is fine. And Mitt Romney, right off the bat, started saying things that were just so ridiculous, and so I'd say bewildering to anybody who sort of followed Mitt Romney's own sort of policy positions or tried to sort of follow the trajectory, that, you know, we were all confused in the media file room in terms of trying to keep track of, you know, the falsehoods and the way he was tacking to the center in such, you know, bizarre ways. But you can only imagine how confused and baffled President Obama was. And then I think that, you know, I've heard from a lot of folks close to President Obama that he has nothing but disdain for Mitt Romney. And right. We know that going into the debate, his own top advisors were saying, look, you cannot show that disdain. You've got to show president. You've got to be presidential. Don't be mean. Don't be sort of surly. So that's in his head, and he's bewildered by everything that Romney says. And I think the president has decided, okay, I'm just going to try to stay above the fray and sort of look away and not sort of, you know, show any sort of disdain or anger towards him. And as a result, it seemed like he was just not engaged, and
right.
And that was the problem.
Well, David, that is always the, you know, the disadvantage is being president, being the incumbent, and having to be presidential, I guess. But a lot of people have said the town hall format coming up seems more of a natural for the president. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think the town hall format will be very helpful. I mean, you know, his ability to sort of interact with folks about their average concerns or their, you know, sort of common questions, I think will be fine. You know, the other thing that I've heard some discussion of about the last debate that, you know, it's difficult to control a debate as a moderator if you are sort of sitting at a table and the candidates are, you know, 20 feet away from you standing at a podium. So there's been some discussion that Bob Schieffer, the last debate, he will have the candidates at a table sitting with him, which makes it a lot easier, I think, sort of physically, if you're the moderator, to control the debate. But it also makes it, it almost sort of forces the candidate to sort of be more engaging and match whatever energy that your opponent has. And I think that, you know, if President Obama can get around from behind that podium and actually be at a table or be sort of in a sort of a season around, like we're going to see at the town hall style debate, I think his energy will certainly be there. They'll feed off the audience. They'll feed off the sort of more physical proximity to Romney, and I think he'll be fine.
Well, all right, because if we have another debate like the last one, I will need to not just, you know, theoretically spoon you, but physically. I will need to go find you, find the hammock. All right.
Well, we'll hide under the blanket and suck on the pacifier together. Trust
all right.
Me.
Yes.
Ooh, that's hot. That's kind of hot.
Now, stop
right.
It. He's
David,
engaged to be married.
I know he is, and I'm so happy for him. All right. David Schuster, love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you, love right. You, and even my fiance thinks you're hot, Stephanie.
Awesome, aww. Awesome. Three way. Okay, love you, David.
All right, love you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Oh, my God.
What is up with me this
week? I have
week?
No idea.
Between Chris Cluey yesterday and David Schuster, what's happening with Mama? Okay.
Yeah, there were reports of a lot of lesbians turning straight yesterday after the Chris Cluey interview.
It's like magic. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Did I mention Carol Burnett's going to be on the show tomorrow? Okay. And also Jason Alexander, our buddy, our pal.
Yeah.
It's a big, big shoe. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Mittens in his big foreign policy something
thing
yesterday.
With Iran closer than ever to nuclear weapons capability, mm-hmm. with the conflict in Syria threatening to destabilize the region, and with violent extremists on the march, and with an American ambassador and three others dead, likely at the hands of Al-Qaeda affiliates, it's clear that the risk of conflict in the region is higher now than when the president took office.
Well, it'll be higher if you become president.
Right.
Just saying.
World tends to turn into a powder keg once a Republican is in office.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Politico headline, experts pan Romney's foreign policy speech.
Experts, what do they know?
Has anyone ever run for president while putting forth so few actual, you know, ideas in any sort of detail ever? I don't think so. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright dismissed Ms. Romney's big foreign policy speech as trivial ideas. Coming from a foreign policy lightweight, here she is.
He has changed his mind on a number of different issues in terms of Libya, for instance. I mean, at first he was for the intervention. Now he's against it. It's unclear where he is on Syria.
Yes, Romney laid out a vision for American power he said would be more proactive than Obama's. Doesn't that sound manly? While offering up policy specifics that critics described as not much different from what Obama is already doing, right, as David Schuster just said. For example, Romney said Obama has not signed one new free trade agreement, as we've been saying.
Well, he hasn't signed one. He signed three.
That seems odd that he would be so lightly fat-checked before giving a major speech. Huh, that's so unusual for him. Oh, hey. All right, Mittens yesterday.
For the sake of peace, we must make clear to Iran through actions, not just words, that their nuclear pursuit will not be tolerated.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what the president has said.
Right.
Okay. Mittens, one more time.
I'll restore the permanent presence of aircraft carrier task forces in both the Eastern Mediterranean and the Gulf.
Which we already have.
And I'll work with Israel to increase our military assistance and coordination.
Which we do.
I'm sorry, Jim, he's what?
Which we've done.
We're doing this.
We do all of that. What is he talking about?
Got it, Mittens. Thanks. Yeah. Check.
Also, I'll make sure that we have the most powerful military in the world.
Yeah, okay.
We've been there for a long time, like 26 times over.
Yeah.
But thanks.
Also, I'll make sure that decency and niceness will prevail.
Right.
Kittens. And nothing icky will ever happen anywhere.
Butterflies. Okay.
Kitten bombs.
Mitt Romney's foreign policy speech filled with tough talk and slams of President Obama's leadership, according to Politico piece. But little of clarity Romney has vowed. Not really anything. Analysts reviewing what he said, which was billed as a major foreign policy speech, we're not impressed. The speech, they say, was much like Romney's previous swings at laying out a foreign policy, couched in broad ideology and big ambitions and lacking the specifics for how we would bring about any of them.
Yeah. Other than that, how'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Foreign policy experts say the speech was vague at best and reflected some confusion of ideas. James Lindsay of the Council on Foreign Relations said if Romney has a foreign policy strategy, he still has not told us what it is.
Yeah, great.
Fantastic. Oh, Madeleine Albright made a good point. She also said that she sees signs of division among Romney's advisors.
Yes.
So you see a little bit of back and forth reflecting which particular advisor and whose direction he's nodding.
It's
John Bolton. No, wait a minute. Yeah, because he's such a flip-flopper. How terrifying would that be as leader of the free world? You don't even know who he's listening to or which way he's going to flip or flop next.
Maybe that's that mental illness that Anne was talking about.
That could be. Barbara. Barbara in Dover, Delaware. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi.
Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just about 73 years old, and I love your show.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to say was that it's amazing to me that Romney can actually state just what Obama's doing, and it's like it's his idea. He must really be full of himself.
Well, you remember he said he'll take a lot of credit for the auto bailout because that was his idea, as you recall.
Right.
What? I mean, that was to me the moment when I went, oh my God, he is shameless.
Yeah.
They can flash up on the screen his op-ed, let Detroit go bankrupt. And he just, no, I didn't. No, that was my idea. I'll take a lot of credit for that. Yes, I will.
That was Rick Romney.
What?
Different guy.
29 minutes
that was
after
one of my
hour.
Sons.
Notorious liar.
One of my lying
snark.
Sons.
Yeah.
Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sounds to me like that Milky Jezebel's giving us both trouble.
Ain't it the truth? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our favorite time of the week, Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Milky Jezebel is now my new band name. I just
Oh, Charlie Pierce. Well, let's talk first about the inevitable tightening of the polls. I mean, it's interesting. The president
say nothing of tightening of other orifices.
Right. Yeah, well, sphincters snapping shut. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I have to say, I and you and I may disagree on this. I thought a lot of the punditry was sort of overwrought, and I think some of that's reflected in the polls.
Yeah, but the one I don't understand, and this has been backed up by the Triple P poll that came out after the Pew poll did.
Right.
Is the complete evaporation of the support among women. And the only thing I can conclude is that women looked at that debate that was supposed to be domestic policy, noticed that none of their concerns ever came up, and wondered why the one guy who should have raised them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay.
Because without a gigantic gender gap, the president doesn't win.
Well,
it's gone completely in the Pew poll, and it's down to 6, I think, in the Triple P.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think that, as I keep saying, too, we have a big debate coming up this week. We have 2 more. You know, so, and as you know, and you and I have been talking about, I mean, Romney has been running one of the most disastrous campaigns I can remember. So, you know, I think that we're gonna find out if in fact this kind of thing holds, right?
Yeah, well, to say that you're running one of the most dishonest campaigns in history doesn't mean that it isn't going to work.
Well, I said disastrous, but yeah.
Well, I thought you said
but
dishonest.
Also dishonest, right.
But, you know, because I think, oddly enough, people have determined that Mitt Romney's dishonesty is going to be just one of many factors we bring in deciding whether or not we vote, whether we vote for him, and not like the thing that should have been a deal breaker.
Right. Well,
it should be a deal breaker. But
right.
Now it's like people are saying, well, you know, he's got an interesting position on taxes, and oh, by the way, he's lying his ass off. But, you know, that's
right.
Just part of the – that's we've factored that in now.
Right, but what I'm saying is –
the same way we factored in his money.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but my point is that the other thing is, you know, this fact-checking has gone on over time, including now yesterday's speech on foreign policy. I'm just saying that isn't that going to have some effect over time as well? These polls were taken right after the debate, and people go, oh, wow, he seemed really good. Right.
Yeah, I think that's if you want to look for a silver lining in both of the polls, it is that they are a snapshot taken right in the heart of what should have been the bounce. And, you know, so, you know, we'll see what happens in the middle and the end of next week. But I was resistant to the notion, but I'm over to it now that debate performance was a serious, serious blunder.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you basically what you just said. You write this week. It's been pointed out that Romney really has become quite a remarkable liar. He lies by commission, of course. What $5 billion tax cut? Pre-existing conditions? Get those bad boys covered. But he also lies by omission, namely in his resolute determination not to be specific about what deductions he's planning to close in order to pretend that the mathematics behind his budget were not designed by howler monkeys.
I've always suspected that.
Is that what that was a particular type of simian?
Howler monkeys.
Yeah, they're particularly good at obfuscatory mathematics.
Yes.
Dub, 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 dub. I'm particularly good at English.
And
you know
obfuscatory poo throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's hard, by the way. It's very hard to throw poo surreptitiously.
Yes. Look over there.
Oh, no.
Speak through it.
Speaking of poo throwing.
I'm not going to get to talk like this with Governor Switzer tonight on TV.
No.
I'm going to be with Governor Switzer tonight on Current TV.
Cool. You're on Viewpoints.
I'm going to be with Governor Granholm, so there.
Nah. Nah, boo-boo.
Charlie, if
you don't throw her a great big dating game kiss, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Listen, just stop it with that. Now,
you're not supposed to bring that up. Shh.
Charlie, if you're speaking of the...
I thought I wasn't supposed to bring up the overalls.
Speaking of the poo-flinging and the Sunday morning TV shows, nobody documents them like you do. And I love your basic question this week, which is why? Why does any television network put Mary Madeline on the air anymore?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there are more entertaining wingnuts. There are more informative wingnuts. There are wingnuts who have had, you know, better work, less work done. Of course, there are, you know,
yes.
Pyramids in Egypt that have had less work done.
You say she's just a nasty, nasty, bitter old piece of work who spent 8 years supplying fresh earth for the coffin in which Dick Cheney sleeps during the daylight hours. Ann Coulter without the cocktail dress and the lunatic performance skills. Yeah, you were talking about her face-off with Paul Krugman, right?
Yes. You have a Nobel Prize? You're a liar.
Right.
You have a Nobel Prize in economics and we're talking about economics? Well, I'm sorry, you're a liar. I know this because I run a phony book imprint for someone.
Yeah. And as you point out, not to mention that he was exactly right. You put the transcript. Krugman said, when you say mine covers pre-existing conditions when it doesn't, and when your own campaign has admitted the past it doesn't, what do you say? That's amazing. And then Madeline calls him a liar.
Well, not only that, but my old Boston Herald buddy, Eric Fernstrom, went into the spin room after the debate and admitted it doesn't cover pre-existing conditions.
Right.
You know, thereby making a point the president should have made, I might add.
I love this part. You say, when you say every particular of the Ryan plan on Medicare, from the efficiency of Medicare administration to calling it a voucher plan, Krugman, it is a voucher plan. I mean, here we go again with, like, there's two sides to an issue when there isn't.
It's not a, it doesn't become less of a voucher plan because you call it premium support.
Right.
You know, if you're giving people a coupon with which they are going to have to pay, you know, which will be inadequate to cover whatever medical insurance they need, you're giving them a voucher. You're not giving them a premium support.
Right. And as you say, lost in all this organized hot flash was the fact that Krugman was simply right and Madeline had not presented any evidence to the contrary. But what did you say? Oh, you said that Stephanopoulos sat there like a handsome cigar store Indian.
Yeah, I mean, you just and then you can't come on afterwards and say what a great debate it was, because it wasn't a debate.
No.
Yeah.
It was here are the facts, you're a liar, basically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and gee, look at the headline today. Big gaps in Romney plan on pre-existing conditions.
Of course there are. Yeah. Because it doesn't cover pre-existing conditions. And
yeah.
He knows it,
yeah.
And his staff knows it. But
yeah.
The problem is, America didn't get to know it at the time.
Yeah.
Because the president was asleep.
Well, and here's, you know, we were saying, I mean, here's one of the other big, you mentioned Chuck Todd talking about it. But we've come to a place where, for the first time, at least I can remember, the Bureau of Labor's statistics, they're literally our job truthers saying, no, they're not correct. Right? You say,
I mean, this is what the people have sort of lost this to history. This is what they did to exit polling in the wake of Bush v. Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loved exit polls until they started making noise about them in Florida in 2000. And now suddenly nobody likes exit polls anymore. And there's one, I mean, apparently they're not even going to do them in uncontested states.
In 19 states, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, you say the idea that Donald Trump and Jack Welch, rich people with crazy conspiracy, can get tractions on this. This is what Chuck Todd said.
Yeah.
And you said, if it weren't for rich people and crazy conspiracies, the Republican Party would have been holding bake sales and car washes over the last 50
yeah.
years. Where was my man Chuck when Richard Mellon Scaife was bankrolling the Arkansas Project in the 90s? Where was he on the Swift boat slanders? He's a little late here, as you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, going all the way back to the Hunts in the 1960s, who were the bankroll behind a lot of the John Birch stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the modus operandi. It's just become more sophisticated, and the Citizens United decision has allowed them to do it with, you know, far more impunity than they used to. But rich people with nutty ideas has been the backbone of the Republican Party since Eisenhower.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing we were talking about is how a major candidate can get away with so few specifics. And, you were talking about they have people like Mike Murphy on, who basically makes the argument Romney can't be specific about his economic plan because people might be unpleasant to him about it.
This is amazing to me. This is what Ann Romney said, too. We're not going to release our tax returns because you'll find something in them you can use against us. And now Mike Murphy's saying we're not going to announce what we're going to do when we get elected because people might not like it.
Right.
I'm not going to give you the murder weapon. My prints are on it.
Right.
And then the dancing master, as you call him.
I mean,
David
right. Gregory. I mean, this is a living definition of I'm running for president, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
You know, I can't have
yeah.
illegals working here. I'm running for governor, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what I'm actually going to do. I'm running for president, for Pete's sake.
If I can't tell you my disastrous ideas, you might use them to sink me.
Exactly.
And then I just love the way you close. The dancing master, David Gregory, brought out adulterous physical freak Arnold Schwarzenegger to talk about the difficulty of finding bipartisan solutions
yeah.
and also what a schmuck he's been. That was essentially it, right?
Well, no, that was my favorite question of the weekend, actually.
Right.
Are you a man of character? Yes, I believe I am. Oh, okay. Fine.
Well,
that makes one of you. You know?
Yeah.
Case closed, then. All right. Charlie, what is your prediction on the vice presidential debate?
I think there's a very interesting piece of video out today of Paul Ryan getting very huffy with a local reporter in Michigan.
Oh, that's funny. We happen to have that. Would you like to hear it?
Well, why, yes, I would.
Why, thank you, Captain Segway. Here it is now.
The best thing to help prevent violent crime in the inner cities is to bring opportunity in the inner cities, is to help people get out of poverty in the inner cities, is to help teach people good discipline, good character, That is civil society. That's what charities and civic groups and churches do to help one another, make sure that they can realize the value in one another.
And you can do all that by cutting taxes, but with a big tax cut.
Those are yours, not mine.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah. That was kind of strange.
You're trying to stuff words in people's mouths?
I know you are, but what am I?
And then he left in a snit.
You know, you can't spell prickly without P-R. I think, I've said this all along, and I think Scott Brown has pretty much the same problem. I think Paul Ryan has believed all the, you know, laudatory garbage that's been heaped up on his reputation as being a brilliant thinker. And I think he's taken it all to heart. And I think that's a great vulnerability because I think I think he can be mocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing Joe Biden is very good at is mocking people.
Yes.
And, you know, I think if you can make him show that, what you just saw with that guy.
Oh, God, if he walks off the stage in the middle of the debate.
If you can make him do that a couple times in the debate, people, the guy's not tremendously likable, okay? Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's entirely possible that, you know, Biden will advocate handing Sweden over to the Hezbollah.
Would both of us pay Biden if he were to call him a zombie eyed granny starver? Yeah. I mean, really?
I mean, go for the gold, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't even have to send me a nickel. He doesn't even have to send me royalties on it.
And by the way, I love his idea of what was his idea of teaching people character? That's how we
teach them good character like they do in the churches, for all the good work they've done are not law enforcement outfits.
Maybe he can appoint Arnold Schwarzenegger the czar of that.
Well, the whole question was about gun control. So, yeah. And not only did he go off on this riff, and not only did he turn into a nasty little bit of work, which everybody knows he is, he doesn't have a position on gun control.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he comes from, you know, East Jesus, Wisconsin with no major metropolitan areas under his belt.
Didn't he just, he does have a position. He just bought his 10-year-old daughter a rifle for Christmas.
Wow. Oh, that's right. That's right. Teaching her how to shoot.
Yep.
Yes. As we do with 10-year-old girls. What? All right. Charlie, great stuff. We will talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, honey. Love
Hooray!
You. Here's Esquire.com. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie.
Don't be a hero, don't be a fool with your life.
Is it just me that I just automatically start whistling Bridge Over the River Kwai when I start whistling at all? Okay.
But that's not this song.
No, I know. 51 minutes after the hour, whistling confuses me. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And I don't know how to do that thing where you can get a cab.
I can't do that.
Okay.
Do people really get cabs like that?
Apparently. They do in movies.
At least they did in the 1930s and 40s.
Yes.
Hey, cabbie.
Say there, cabbie.
21 Skidoo.
21?
I don't know.
23.
23 Skidoo?
From the 20s.
Oh, Lord. Mary in Missouri. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I was watching a show on another network with
How dare you.
Sorry. Well, it was a lesbian liberal, so anyway. Last night, and she showed a simple graph that showed defense spending throughout the decades.
Right.
And what Mitt Romney would propose is to spend is higher than we spent for the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Cold War. And he said in his speech yesterday about building 15 ships a year for the Navy.
Including 3 submarines, right.
Why aren't people scared to death of this man? What the hell is he wanting? Is he wanting to start a war on 2 fronts?
Yes.
Yes.
Are we going to go to war with Iran, and then he's going to go attack North Korea?
That's what he wants.
We already have, what is it, Jim? I don't even have the numbers in front of me. How many more times, more force we have than however many the next 40 nations combined, most of whom are our allies? It's just, it's incredible. All right. Also, yikes. Big gaps in Romney's plan on pre-existing conditions. That's so odd for him to have said something is not true. Presidential candidate Mitt Romney says he has a plan to help people with pre-existing medical conditions get health insurance, but there's a huge catch. You basically have to be covered in the first place.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big catch. Yeah. That's sort of a big gap.
That's some catch. That catch 22. It's the best there is.
If you had a significant break in health insurance coverage, an insurer still could delve into your medical history looking for anything from a bad back to high blood pressure that could foreshadow future claims, then they'd be able to turn you down.
Those are the real death panels. Yeah.
That would be a contrast to President Obama's health care law, in case all y'all are paying attention, which guarantees people in poor health can get comprehensive coverage at the same rates everybody else pays and provides government subsidies to help low- to middle-income households pay premiums starting January 1st, 2014. Pay attention, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Any insurer may not impose any pre-existing condition exclusion, the law says. That seems like a good idea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Since losing health insurance is often connected to major life upheavals like job loss or divorce, many people aren't able to keep up continuous coverage, you see. More than 70% of the uninsured have been without coverage for a year or longer, according to the Kaiser Foundation. Obama's answer is the law of the land, unless repealed, is more like hitting the reset button. About 30 million uninsured people would gain coverage as the U.S. moves closer to other economically advanced countries that provide health care for all citizens. But other than that, so basically that was just one of the big, bold-faced just lies. He just kind of said it like it was true. I have a plan. My plan covers pre-existence.
Oh, okay then. I guess I'll vote for you.
No, it doesn't.
He wouldn't lie to us about that, would he?
I was mentioning this to Jackie Schechner. Steve King, the stunning arch-conservative Steve King of Iowa. He's indicating his support for a major provision in Obamacare, which closes a prescription drug, the donut hole. Isn't that a good idea? Oh, yeah, that's in there. He said of the so-called donut hole, it will haunt us until it's filled. That's why it's in the Affordable Care Act. You see that you've been doing everything you can to either not get passed in the first place or make sure it gets repealed. Because, wow. Isn't that going to be, I mean, seriously, if Romney gets in, he literally is just going to do everything Obama's done.
Yeah.
And said, but it's my idea now.
Because I did this with my hands.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Christine in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
Aiken, McCain, Lyon Ryan, Bolton, Sununu, they all remind me of Rush Limbaugh. They're all, like, super creepy and slimeball con men. And I can't believe John Bolton this morning is embarrassed because Obama's weak, he said, and to the rest, or to all other countries, they think we're weak if we don't act like John Bolton wants us to.
Right, if we're not taking some floors off the UN and starting another war.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Theta in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Theta.
Hi.
Hi.
I was going to say, if Jim Ward is right about Romney's relationship to facts, I saw a documentary narrated by Alan Alda where the guy had short-term memory loss, and so he put little sticky notes all over his house and his body, and they would say, like, yeah, you did eat lunch already and stuff like
that. Wow. Wow, maybe that's the mental disorder that Ann Romney's talking
about.
That
could be.
There's sticky notes everywhere.
It's like the presidential version of the movie Memento.
What did I say yesterday about health care?
What? Did I say I covered pre-existing conditions? Oh, no.
Oh, okay, then that must be true.
Oops.
No, it's not. Chris in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, after watching the debate, I wasn't disillusioned by the president's performance at all. I mean, how could the president be prepared to debate an opponent that seems to prepare his positions on the spin of a roulette wheel?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I can see him staring blankly at his handlers waiting to hear what he's supposed to say this time.
Yeah. I mean, literally, he was like, no, regulation. I've always been for that. No, you haven't. You wanted to repeal Dodd-Frank.
I mean, you can't have an intelligent conversation with someone who bases his policy on an apparent spin-to-win game.
Right. Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pat in Indiana. Hi, Pat, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let everyone know, all the Hoosiers know, that today we are opening early voting today here in Indiana.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to be celebrating my 65th birthday today by going and voting a little bit.
Woot. I speak for all of us in an electoral sense when I say woot.
Woot.
Okay. Good. All right. Get it. It was more a declaratory statement.
Sure.
Okay. Debbie in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm calling because my concern is that the American people are still not clear on the 2 years of Romney taxes. And I just want to know how this 20% cut across the board that he's denying he ever said in the primaries is going to affect my income taxes and what deductions I'll lose on these taxes.
Well, he's not going to tell you that because you might use it against him.
Exactly.
Yeah. specifics.
He won't tell you until November 7th.
Trust him. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing Morning World Celebrity Stack and More on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I should wait to tell my personal comment to Jesus, John Fugelsang, about that.
What?
But that's just too good.
Yeah.
The Tea Party sign that says what?
Jesus didn't heal the sick for free, Obama.
Yeah.
How many shekels
did
he charge? I don't
remember.
But
he's kind of famous for doing exactly that.
Kind of sort of did. Okay.
Was there a copay?
Get a brain, Moran's.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Oh, boy. Speaking of Sexy Liberal, John Fugelsang saying sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. Get it. October 27th, tickets going fast for the big pre-election Sexy Liberal Palooza in New York City at the Beacon Theater. Eat it. Go. Eat it.
Go. Chew.
Yeah, I'm wearing my boogie cheese in honor of Aisha Tyler, who will be at the big Sexy Liberal Palooza, my New York City t-shirt. Go. Get it. Giant celebrity.
Huge.
Huge. And it's
not
Donald Trump.
I'm panel. No, it's not.
It's okay. Bigger than Donald Trump,
yeah.
Actually.
All right. Jim?
Hmm?
Who said this is a serious man? You know what? These are serious times, and they call for serious leaders, is my point.
Michael J. Fox.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
Yeah, that was my point. No. This is a serious man, and now he's a proven leader. He has earned a second term. Mr. Obama sees an America where the common good is as important as the individual good. That is the vision on which the nation was founded. It is the vision that has seen America through its darkest days and illuminated its best days. It is the vision that underlies the president's greatest achievement, the Affordable Care Act. 20 years from now, it will be hard to find anyone who remembers being opposed to Obamacare. Who said that?
John Sununu.
No, that was an extremely bad guess. This is an editorial in the St. Louis Dispatch from the Heartland. Ladies and gentlemen. Dan Martin.
He's good.
Yeah.
No relation to Dan Martin.
No. He continues to steer the nation through the most perilous economic challenges since the Great Depression. Those who complain the unemployment remains high or that economic growth is too slow either do not understand that the scope of the catastrophe imposed upon the nation by Wall Street and its enablers, or they're lying about it. To expect Barack Obama to have repaired in 4 years what took 30 years to undermine is simply absurd. He might have gotten further had he not been settled with an opposition party funded by plutocrats. Good word. That sneers at the word compromise, but even if Mr. Obama had Franklin Roosevelt's majorities, the economy would still be in peril. Who said that?
Dick Cheney.
Wow, you're having a spectacularly bad round. No, St. Louis Dispatch and their endorsement of President Barack Obama. All right, I'll give you one more chance. Who said the social Darwinist solutions put forward by Republican Mitt Romney and his running mate, Representative Paul Ryan, are not worthy of this nation's history, except that part of it known as the Gilded Age? People who don't understand the word socialist accuse Mr. Obama of being one, but he cut deals with anyone who come to the table in health care, banking regulation, and most other policy areas. He has practiced the art of the possible. Who said that?
Eleanor Cliff. Wrong.
No, that was wrong. You're
Eleanor
right.
Roosevelt.
That was wrong. No. Dan Martin, St. Louis Dispatch, endorsement. Some very good stuff. Would you like me to read a tiny bit more? I guess I will.
Sure.
Against the advice of his senior advisors, he approved the SEAL mission that killed Osama bin Laden. Mr. Romney is the very embodiment of what's gone wrong with the economy. Too many people at the top create vast wealth that they do not share, either by creating jobs or paying fair tax rates. If more Americans were paying attention, this election would not even be close. Barack Obama would be win going away at least 53-47, perhaps even 99-1. But the atmosphere has been polluted by lies, distortion, voter suppression, and spending by desperate plutocrats who see the nation's changing demographics and fear that their time is almost up. They've had the help of a partisan Supreme Court. The question for voters is actually very simple. The nation has wrestled with it since its founding. Will this government be for the many or the few? Choose the many. Choose Barack Obama. Thank you. Good night. Thank you. St. Louis Dispatch. Okay. That was just happy clappy, just to my liking. Yay, Kermit Quail! All right, that's, you know why I had to do that?
What?
I had to cleanse my palate because we're going to dive into Right Wing World now. Here he is, Rush Limbaugh on the president.
When Obama speaks on foreign policy, it literally is a green light to our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly isn't any
deterrence in Obama. Obama's not deterring anybody. Mm. He's not deterring the Iranians. He's not deterring Al-Qaeda. And that is evidenced by the attacks in Libya and the protests in Cairo and the accompanying protests in the rest of the Middle East. The entire Arab Spring was mischaracterized from day one as an outbreak of Obamaism. Freedom elections, democratic elections. It was nothing of the sort.
Mm. When Obama speaks, it's a green light? Like
for terrorists to
when
attack.
He said,
sure. Like when you send a carrier task force.
Hey, Osama, green light, go. Oops, too late, bang.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Literally none of that was true in any of that.
Right.
Okay. Donald Trump, oh, they're still talking to him. Donald Trump on fire. What would be, noted birther Donald Trump, what would be the chances that he's also a job truther?
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I think that they've did a lot of, there's a lot of monkey business. And I'm telling you, in a month and a half from now, they will do a readjustment like has been happening for the last year and a half. Mm. They will do a readjustment, and the number will be 8.2 or more. Mm. I mean, that's monkeying with the numbers to a fairly well.
That was somebody from Fox and Friends. Doesn't matter who. That's what they all sound like to me anyway.
It was Peter Johnson.
Oh. Whose name is Peter Johnson?
Yeah. Schman Schmeckel.
He changed his name because that was too embarrassing.
Yeah.
Has Dick Armey ever been on with him?
Army of Dick.
He is. Okay. Wow. And they just keep giving people like that credibility.
Yes, they do.
As everyone has come out and said, it is virtually, it is beyond the pale, virtually impossible. These are not political appointees. Right. It is so many people that would have to be involved in monkeying with the job numbers. Is that what
right.
you said?
It's monkey business.
Yeah, it's some monkey business going on with the job numbers. Think you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Sean Hannity on the...
Governor Mitt Romney's impressive performance at last week's first presidential debate will go down in history as the most decisive victory in history. Mm. Now, the anointed one stumbling and bumbling in Denver is costing him in the polls as well, nationally and in battleground states.
Yeah, wow. Overreach much?
Yeah.
The most stunning victory in the history of everything ever, in the history of anything.
It was a debate. It was one debate, Sean.
That sounds like how I talk to my dogs. Who's the best dog in the history of dogs in the history of everything ever? Okay, Jenna Lee, I'm sorry, I'm just saying. It was as ridiculous as that hyperbole.
Yeah.
Whatever, it was one debate. Settle down, Skippy. Jenna Lee.
He needs
on,
a hug.
Jenny, is there a show called Happening Now?
Yes, on Fox.
When does it happen?
It happens in the daytime.
It already happened, right? So it happened yesterday.
Well, it's not happening
so
now.
It's not happening now.
So it's
it happened then.
Misnomer. If it's not happening now, how can they call
this
it happening
something
now?
Something that happened then on Happening Now.
Yeah.
With somebody.
Following an interesting trend in the wake of last week's debate, after the president's performance against Governor Mitt Romney, more and more journalists and political insiders, including a columnist from the Washington Post, are asking one question. Does President Obama really want to win the election?
Oh, good pop psychology. Yes, clearly not.
Because one columnist asked that question. She said... Many political insiders.
Political. Well, okay, one chick.
Yeah.
You know what?
Crazy Jack Welch tweeting became, there's a lot of mistrust of these jobs numbers. There's widespread. No.
Two guys.
You know what?
Yeah.
That is the most crappy-ass journalism I've heard.
Aw, that's so cute, like you just discovered it on Fox News. Okay. Mike Murphy, Republican strategist on Meet the Press.
He lost the debate because he had nothing to say. And that is a fundamental problem of the Obama campaign. They have the thinnest re-election brochure ever. Oh, very short on accomplishments. Huge new national debt. None of the jobs we were promised. They're now literally trying to start a parade about economic statistics and say things are now just as bad as they were when he started.
No, they're not.
What
not
I think really worked in the debate was Romney seemed like I have energy and ideas. And the president didn't.
He has
a lot
really
of very loud,
ideas.
Very loud lies.
Really loud lies and really bad ideas.
To keep the fact checkers busy for a long time.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Okay, and we end with Bill O'Reilly on the...
The Constitution provides Americans protection so they can pursue happiness. But the Founding Fathers did not guarantee happiness or material well-being. And if you try to do that, you will bankrupt the nation. And that's what's happening right now with the growing $16 trillion debt.
God.
Did anyone ever say the Constitution guarantees material well-being?
No.
No. No one said that.
Yes, Bill O'Reilly is
but
lying
you win
about
another
you.
One against the straw man.
And
good
again,
job.
The debt is still a hangover from the Bush administration, where we had two unpaid-for wars
exactly.
and massive tax cuts completely blew the surplus.
And, right.
Thank you.
And the Constitution guarantees the pursuit of happiness, and that which includes gay couples who would like to get married.
Or subordinate or subordinate employees in a sexual way. But then you have to pay a lawsuit off, generally. I'm not talking about anybody specific.
No.
I thought you were talking about you and me.
Oh, no.
No, there's no loofah involved.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly and his, and Andrea Macris.
Right. Is it me, or is this a campaign entirely of weasels and liars?
I was tired of campaigning. I've been reacting too slow. Like a worn-out recording of some old Hannity show. And as I was debating, I read the Washington Times. And there in the opinions, an editorial chime. If you like weasels and liars, and job destroyers at Bane, if you're not into truth much, and just have half of a brain, if you like watching Fox News all night, and your logic's insane,
I'm sorry, I was distracted by. Did you see this list that was reportedly written by Snoop Dogg? Reasons why he's not voting for Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
It wasn't written by him, but it's funny.
Yeah, he just posted that on his Instagram.
It was not actually him, is
right.
it?
No,
okay.
Well, no, he posted that picture on his Instagram, but he didn't write the list.
It's really funny and not for it.
No.
Okay. Yeah, Chris, those were trapdoor kitty pajamas. 19 minutes after the hour,
the kitties look like jazz.
Manly. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You want to zigga 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 about the zigga zigga zigga
zigga
zigga
zigga zigga zigga. Oh, I love quoting my girlfriend Jodie Foster, whom I'm dating. 24 minutes. Travis, I'm serious. Tell her to stop saying
that. Stop saying that.
This is ruining my life. Okay, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800. Boy,
she's really going to need a panic room.
I've been riding that tabloid rumor. I'm not coming out of my panic room till she shuts up. I've been riding that tabloid rumor for, 3 weeks now?
Yeah, you have.
We were spotted at the DNC, you know. She got us better hotel rooms, from which you guys haven't said thank you to her at all.
Oh, thank you, Jody.
Thanks.
And thanks for that dinner we had at the Grove.
Liver and some fava beans.
We were spotted having liver and some Chianti.
Liver and fava beans with a nice Chianti.
At the Grove. Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
What does he do, this man you seek?
Nothing. We're lezzes. Okay. 1-800-712, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Frank in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
How are you doing?
Good.
You guys are all beating up on Obama and a lot of stations on the debate. I think he did a marvelous job. I don't need to be entertained at a debate. But when he addressed the 54, 55-year-olds, I'm 52, my wife's 51, he addressed me directly. And Jim Lehrer even challenged Romney, and it's the only thing he didn't waver on or retract. Are you for vouchers? And he didn't say he wasn't against it because his buddy Paul Ryan is for it.
Right.
Now, he also says he likes to fire his insurance company if he doesn't get his way with it.
Yes.
That attacked me and hopefully most of America, because when I buy insurance as a working guy, I buy what I can afford and I take risks on my deductibles and everything like that. I'm not able to just go out and buy any insurance policy I want. Now, if that doesn't resonate with the American voter, I mean, it just seems like the American voter to me. If they want to be entertained, listen to your show. You do a great job entertaining people. If you listen to people. people that are going to run the country.
Yep. Yep. I agree with you. And you wait for it. Wait for it this week.
Yep.
I think Jolton Joe is going to bring it on Thursday. And we will be doing our pre-debate special again on Current.
Yes.
Our debate night special.
At 7 p.m. Eastern, 4
right.
p.m. Pacific.
Right. Nap time. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always nap time.
And isn't it ironic that Big Bird will probably have to get resume paper at Staples? It's ironic.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't you think?
And sad. Okay. We have a new the Obama for America ad.
Bernie Madoff, Ken Lay, Dennis Kozlowski, criminals, gluttons of greed, and the evil genius who towered over them. One man has the guts to speak his name.
Big Bird. Big Bird. Big Bird.
It's me, Big Bird.
Big, yellow, a menace to our economy. Mitt Romney knows it's not Wall Street you have to worry about. It's Sesame Street.
I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS.
Mitt Romney, taking on our enemies no matter where they nest.
And now, Mittens, he's scared of kids.
Yep.
Did you see this? Romney refuses to face kids on Nickelodeon after vow to defund Big Bird. Mitt Romney refusing to take questions from children on Nickelodeon. So every president does it every year. Kids pick the president, the candidates.
Yep.
Linda Ellerbe, the host, said, by answering kids' questions directly, candidates show respect for kids. We're disappointed that Mitt Romney wouldn't take the time to answer the questions, but are thrilled that President Obama has participated in the special. Deputy National Press Secretary said, kids demand details, and I'm sure they want some answers on why Romney could increase their class sizes, eliminate their teachers' jobs, raise taxes on their families, and slash funding for Big Bird. The dog ate my homework just doesn't seem to cut it when you're running for president. He's a scared.
Yep.
Meow. Mittens is scared of the children. All right, the president. Oh, this is. I was at this.
What?
This is the president at this big fundraiser out here in L.A. Yikes, he raked in $9.5 million. Some of that's my scratch.
Hmm.
At the big concert, Bon Jovi, Katy Perry, Jennifer Hudson, Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. You didn't go to the big after party, though.
No.
The $50,000 one.
$50,000 dinner with George Clooney, Seth MacFarlane, and Harvey Weinstein? No.
That better not be cocktail weenies.
No, didn't make that. The president.
Everybody here is incredible professionals. They're such great friends, and they just perform flawlessly night after night. I can't always say the same.
he was really good,
man,
you know?
Enjoy your mac and cheese.
Yes.
What?
We will take our $50,000, please. Obama and the DNC reported raising a record $181 million in September. So this ain't over, kids.
This ain't no disco.
This ain't no party. This ain't no disco.
This ain't no fooling around. Right? Just everybody buck up. Here we go. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's titillating yet anxiety-producing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. I need some estrogen up in here. Okay.
Ooh, Jackie's News.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're busting her out of the Current News Center. Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you buy this, Obama's lead has completely evaporated among women? This has been all the talk this morning.
No.
Because of one poll, because of just the Pew poll.
Right.
Pew, pew.
No. I mean, if you're a woman and you made some sort of judgment based on the debate, you weren't paying attention or you don't deserve to vote.
And you're not helping.
You're not helping.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the policies that Romney Ryan would put into place would be really detrimental to women. They've done nothing for women. They plan to do nothing for women. They're the party of Todd Akin and the legitimate rape, natural body rejection. I mean, it's absurd.
Right.
It's absolutely absurd.
Well, I'm reading an analysis this morning in the Washington Post that, you know, again, I read the polling earlier. A lot of it is a little bit all over the place. I mean, clearly it's tight and clearly, you know, the debate did not help, but I don't buy that. And this is one they're talking about party ID.
Mm-hmm.
because it's out of whack with all the other ones, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Pew Research poll is a total outlier at this point. And I do think what happened was maybe they went in and polled a bunch of people in the days after the debate, and then the new jobs numbers came out, and that switched it back into the president's favor a little bit. I mean, the polls, at this point, we have so many polls. They all have all this different methodology. It's really difficult day-to-day to tell what's the most trustworthy and what isn't. And I think if you dig down into the states and you take a look at some of the swing state polls and the issues that are resonating and where the president's leading and consistently leading and in what demographics and what groups, I mean, it just doesn't seem likely to me that this one poll that catapulted him ahead by 4 points. It just doesn't make any sense.
And do you think, you know, the president's going to have a chance to correct all of these just blatant, there's no other way to say it, blatant lies that have now been, you know, thoroughly fact-checked from Romney's last debate? I mean, we just talked about this morning, but him saying, oh, no, pre-existing conditions are covered by plan, they absolutely are not, and that's the headline out today. Big gaps, and by big gaps, I mean it's non-existent.
There was no fact-checking going on during the debate. Look, I do think, I just saw an interview this morning where Senator Dick Durbin was saying that he thought the president was caught off guard, and I've been saying that. I mean, look, you should prepare for everything in any debate scenario, but I do think to some extent Mitt Romney came out with such blatant lies, and he did such a complete 180 from everything that he said on the campaign trail,
right,
that I'm not sure the president was entirely sure how to address what came out. I mean, when he says, no, I'm not going to cut $5 trillion, it's like, well, yeah, you are, and you've been saying it for a year, and now all of a sudden you're not. I think the president was caught a little off guard. I really
right.
do. And I think
love
that the strategy is going to be totally different. I'm
I
sorry,
love
did you
the,
want to
no,
talk?
Yes, I do. If you don't mind. Oh, she's so cute. She's so cute and chatty. Okay.
It's not like your name's on the show or anything.
By the way, we're like this in person, too. We're like, oh, my God, I was like, okay, but. Okay.
I will say we missed a day of chatting on the phone yesterday, and it was a little difficult for me.
I know.
What happened?
I know.
We were both busy at other places and didn't have
oh.
the chance to talk.
Well, then.
Your story sounds suspicious, but anyway. It's true. We miss a day. We have so much to. Okay. So this paragraph sums it all up. Mitt Romney says he has a plan to help people with pre-existing medical conditions get health insurance, but
right.
there's a huge catch. You basically have to be covered in the first place,
right.
which makes it completely untrue.
Yeah. It's the law that Clinton signed in 96 that says that if you have group coverage through a job and it makes it easier for you to get group coverage through your next job, and it's the kind of thing where with the continuation of COBRA, you can continue to have coverage as part of a group plan, which means you're not then subjected to all of the scrutiny that people go through when the insurance companies are trying to look for that hacking cough you had once back in fourth grade as a pre-existing condition. But
right.
what happens is you get out into the individual market and the insurance companies don't want to cover you because it's more expensive because you're not part of a larger group. So they look for any possible excuse not to include you, and that's where people have such trouble.
Yep.
And especially now when people have lost their jobs or they're freelancing or they don't have such easy access to work-based health insurance, what we need is the solution that's going to kick in January 1st of 2014, which is that everybody has to be covered regardless of pre-existing conditions. And it's part of the deal they struck with the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See, Jackie Schechter, helper. Healthcare advocate, she helped us get health. And when you talk about hacking coughs in fourth grade, we want to help everyone. I bet you Road Flair Mary had a hacking cough in fourth grade, and we're just trying to make sure that everybody gets covered, no matter
she
when
got,
they.
Well, she got started on those candy cigarettes.
I think so too.
They're gateway candy.
Yeah, exactly.
And the bubblegum cigarettes too. I'm
yeah.
guessing. All right, Jackie Schechter, you're joining us live on set again this Thursday for our big debate night special, the
I
vice presidential.
I cannot wait.
Now, you know what? I'm embarrassed to admit this. I don't know if such a thing exists. But
what?
I asked if there's any tape of my dad debating Hubert Humphrey in 64.
Wow.
And
did they televise VP debates back then?
I don't think
then?
So.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any whatever. We're seeing what we can dig up.
Oh,
that
wow.
would be really cool. It'd
that
be
would
like
be.
That kind of older black and white newsreel sort of footage, right?
Right. Exactly. That
yeah.
and the we'll all have Flirtinis on set this time. So
oh.
a few tweaks to the program.
That was a glaring omission last
yeah.
time around.
Yeah.
Right?
And we had
the
show's
bartender.
We had the show's bartender there. Travis was there.
I know.
Yeah, he's on super secret double probation right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have he'll just like hit the blender right when I'm about to say something important. All right, see you there, honey bunny. Love you.
Looking forward to
All
it.
All right, don't miss another day talking to me.
Bye,
I can't
honey.
Live a day without you.
Call me later.
Okay, love you.
Bye.
Okay.
And Jodie Foster.
In totally different ways. Okay.
So shouldn't have Jim Lehrer been like the fact checker in chief there, being the moderator of the debate? That's BS.
Well,
they say that's not the moderator's
job. Yeah, that's not the moderator's job. That is the other candidate's job to point out the fallacies.
Yeah.
I feel like the president felt like it was too sort of eighth grade because Romney was just saying, nuh-uh.
Yeah. Well, also,
I have 5 million times.
Yeah. Obama was also following the rules in, limiting the time that he was going to speak. Romney just railroaded
there
over
the
rules.
It's not Obama's style to go, yes, you do. Nanny, nanny.
Yeah.
Boo-boo. Right. All right. Hey, flashback to John McCain, former Governor Tommy Thompson, a Wisconsin Republican, running against the awesome and rocking Tammy Baldwin, who's going to kick his ass. He forgot how many homes he had.
Really?
They really are the in-touch party, aren't they? Three, he stated confidently. He totally forgot about. You know when you have that $1.3 million condo near Lake Wisconsin? Easy to slip your mind. Forgot the section.
Well, it's a condo, so it's not really
a condo doesn't count. It's not a house.
And condos are more expensive than condos.
Right. Yeah. Or if you have a condor, they're nearly extinct.
Condor in your condo.
Right? Yeah.
And the condor leaves a lot of condo in the condo.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. And then you got to pay the cleaning woman to clean it up. And
sure.
It's a whole.
No wonder
it's
he forgot
thing.
About it. It's,
yeah.
He never goes there.
That was the plot of Con Air, wasn't it?
Sure.
Yeah. Thelma, Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Thelma.
Hi. I just wanted to say that as a woman, we need to stay focused. And we don't need
I'm sorry,
to
what were you saying?
We need to stay focused.
Oh, right.
I'm talking
right.
about the poll numbers changing between President Obama and Mitt Romney.
Yes.
We're not gullible. We're not stupid. And
we're not?
We don't need to fall into that. No, we're not. We don't need to fall into that stereotype.
Totally, right.
So, you know, this is what I'm saying. Women, stay focused because Mitt Romney is a Republican. And don't forget, this is the Republican Party.
Right.
Todd Akins is Mitt Romney. Don't forget.
I forget
That's
why you called again. Stay focused. Focus.
That's
got
right.
it.
Stay
I've got
focused.
It. I've got it. I've got it.
Like the Hubble telescope.
Look, shiny keys. What? Okay. I got it. I got it. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Let's go to David in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, first time caller. Very glad to get through.
Hey, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the GOP keeps targeting education, and pretty much in my lifetime, they've been doing it continually, or at least the latter half of my lifetime, last 20 years. And a lot of people are noticing it. A lot of people are noticing they cut funding to education. Now Romney's wanting to target PBS. This is like 0.001%.
And in particular, Sesame Street, which, you know, they make so much money from merchandising, they get barely anything from the government. Yeah.
Exactly, but PBS is educational, and this is the thing that I don't really hear too many people talking about, is why, and it seems to me, it's kind of obvious, if you want everybody to keep believing lies and short sound bites, you want a populace that doesn't know how to think for itself, doesn't know how to question anything, and doesn't know facts.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go. Yes.
Oh, by the way, I just got a tweet from someone saying that there were no VP debates until 1976.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I didn't even think it happened, let alone on tape.
They said, in fact, there were no presidential debates in 64, 68, and 72.
Hmm. Ah, and besides, my dad was entirely too busy explaining Barry Goldwater's position on tactical nuclear weapons.
So,
it took a lot of his time. There was no time for debate prep.
I don't think we're going to have any footage, unfortunately.
But he would have won.
He would have.
To say.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sam.
Hi there. Good to talk to everybody. I read something last night about Newt Gingrich having to debate Mitt Romney, and his big complaint was he got beat because he can't debate somebody who's dishonest.
Right. I mean, somebody said that to him on Meet the Press, didn't they, this week, about, you know, you said he's fundamentally dishonest when you debated him. Oh,
right.
Well, I was lying.
Yeah.
No. Fundamentally, frankly. Fundamentally, frankly, I was lying when I said that. Now I'm...
Frankly. Now I'm telling the truth. I mean, you can take back that to the bank, frankly.
I love watching his face when people talk about, like, one thing after another that he said about Romney, and he's just like, just, like, grinning like a Cheshire guy. I know. And he just tries to pretend he says something like he doesn't hate him when you know he does.
Right. Oh, God.
Now it's all different. Okay, 45 minutes after
bless
the hour.
Bless his fat little heart.
Aw, bless him. Bless his that doughy load. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Speaking of my team, Jim, fan letter for you.
Oh.
Let's see, from Aaron and Joel. Stephanie, listen to the show every morning. Love it. Our kids age 3 and 4 love it, too. Bad parenting right here. Yes, indeed, yes. Our second favorite impression right behind Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
Is Jim's impression of Mitch McConnell's talking turtle. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
You've got a firm grasp of the obvious, son.
We love to do this, and so do the kids. My husband even made bread the other day in the shape of a turtle, and the kids started saying, I'm a talking turtle. we ate the legs off the turtle before I thought to capture my 3-year-old daughter on tape with her version of Jim. Oh, it's another little... We have a lot of, like, 3- and 4-year-old impressionists of Jim's impressions, like right. Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel!
Precious. Now we have you have a little army of talking turtles. So adorable. And kids doing Reince Priebus now.
Reince Priebus!
No, the other, the real one.
Oh, you mean the whiny guy? Huh?
It just sounds like Droopy Dog. That's what
I bet kids are good at that one because they're naturally whiny.
The president says he's going to fix everything, and he hasn't fixed anything. I mean, my toilet's still not working right, and he said he would do it.
All right. Celebrity star. How awesome is this story? Peter Gabriel's Hollywood Bowl performance of In Your Eyes, awesomely interrupted by John Cusack holding a boombox.
Nah. What? That is cool.
In a reenactment of the iconic scene from Say Anything.
That's great.
Cusack handed Gabriel a boombox and quickly exited stage right without saying anything.
You see?
He didn't say anything. He did the visual. It was prop humor. Okay. What is going on with the rock stars vomiting on stage? Now Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
What the?
Vomited on stage during her,
she was born that way.
Think I'm gonna burst.
She vomited not once, not twice, but 3 times.
Oh. But you know what? She worked it into her choreography.
Did she?
She did.
Well, that's...
She's trying to outdo... What's his face?
Justin Bieber.
I may have to try that for Sexy Liberal in New York.
Vomit on stage?
No.
Big pre-Lexan finale.
Look how much press Lady Gaga's getting.
Didn't Justin Bieber yak on a
twice
concert goer?
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going on with the yakking? Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
This is hard.
Stop it.
This is gross.
Stop it. It's gross.
This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
Whew.
And then she barfed.
We've made it through this show how many days without barfing once, and we've been pretty close.
I'd never barfed while at work.
Wow. Speaking of debates that make you want to barf, Octomom, her porn days are over, at least for now, and internet companies actually paying her to debate important intellectual topics online.
Wow.
She'll be raking in several thousand dollars to debate twice a week for 90 minutes with anyone who wants to challenge her about anything. The first video is her and Lindsay Lohan's father debating the topic, do children need both parents? Well, if either of them are you...
Computer says
no. No. Either of them are you. Kids don't need either of them.
Who would pay for that?
Apparently, somebody. This is what Jim's premise that started the day. Americans are dumb.
Yes. Go eat another cockroach and die.
The polls tightening after one debate.
Oh, that one guy talking loud. The other guy's not talking at all. I like the loud guy.
Oh, I just injured myself eating pudding with a rubber
spork.
It's people that don't know how to operate a spork.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the headline today proved it. Guy dies after eating live cockroach in a cockroach-eating contest. Florida.
Can I just say that the fork part of spork really doesn't work all that well?
No, it really doesn't.
You really can't.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No, I'm just saying.
It does not really function very well as either a spoon or a fork.
It does not.
Like Paul Ryan does not function very well as a vice presidential candidate or a congressman.
So I think it's time to invent the foon.
The foon.
Is anyone paying attention to American Idol anymore? I never did in the first place.
Is it still on?
Not really.
But Steven Tyler's right. He's calling a bull on the whole Mariah Carey, Nicki
Minaj. Nicki
whoever?
Yes. Yo, wow.
He says they're doing it for ratings. I don't. She says that he threatened to shoot her.
Well, Barbara Walters says that Nicki Minaj threatened to shoot.
They're trying to up the feud from when it was Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul or whoever. I don't.
You know what they're making? Their big mistake is they're making it all about the judges when they should be making it all about the contestants.
I hate YouTube, but I never threatened to shoot you for ratings.
Although.
All right. Oh, I missed a great celebrity spat. Anderson Cooper and Star Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This was awesome. Anderson Cooper just blasted Star Jones when she claimed that Anderson's gay announcement was a ratings ploy. Speaking of ratings ploys, mine was when I announced.
Yes, unabashedly.
I'm gay, and I'm going to shoot both of you. How about that?
Okay, that'll work. There go the ratings.
Check out that spike tomorrow.
You should announce that you're Anderson Cooper. Then that would get the phones ringing.
He said, I haven't thought about this. I got to say, this is some good caddy. This is some good gay caddy. I haven't thought about Star Jones in a while, and I don't know how long. I was unaware she was even on TV.
Yeah.
Meow. As memory serves, in terms of boosting ratings, I seem to recall Star hawking her wedding every single day to get free products when she was on The View. And I seem to recall her lying about her gastric bypass and making everyone else lie about it, too. So for her to suddenly emerge out of the shadows and suddenly attack me for this, I couldn't believe it. Cooper says he invited Star on his show to discuss the comments, but she turned him down. He said, I would think she would want as much publicity as possible, given her penchant for wanting publicity.
Yeah.
Whoa. Meow.
Anderson brings the caddy.
Wow. Consider it broad.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are totally not gay at all, have you seen the new John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John Christmas album, Christmas?
Yeah.
That picture of them with the teacups?
There's a lot of work done between the both of them.
Yeah. Was this, I don't know which website this is. Oh, God, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, what are you doing? Behold the cover for This Christmas. The upcoming joint holiday album from the reupholstered pods that once held the souls of former on-screen lovers John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
It looks like they're having a hot cocoa and gift-wrapping party. How neat. This is so anti-butch that now I'm convinced Travolta is straight and just really, really comfortable with his sexuality. That could be.
Mm.
So, would you pose for that, Jim, even for a lot of money?
Which means we get...
Even Anderson Cooper's like, no, that is way too gay.
But that also means we get John Travolta trying to sing again.
What was wrong with that? He was a good singer, wasn't he? No?
Yeah.
Better dancer. I know. All right, Harry in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Harry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was just listening to Mary go on her rant this morning, and I figured I'd better call in.
Yes.
Because, I walk the streets and I talk to Republicans all the time, and it's like you can't even get a word in edgewise with these people. You know, you bring up any kind of a topic that, you know, say anything nice about Obama, and they just go on a rant. And, you know, they just won't let you get a word in edgewise.
Yep, I hear you. That was me and Mary this morning. There was extra sexual tension, wasn't there, this morning?
Oh, yeah, because she so wants to
Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good.
Today?
Go ahead.
First off, I want to thank you for being my early morning coffee buddy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to bring up a video that I saw a few weeks back about Mitt Romney speaking to a crowd talking that the middle income starts at $250,000.
Yeah. In what world is that?
Well, in Manhattan, maybe. But.
All right. I've been waiting my whole life to say on tomorrow's show, Carol Burnett.
Yay.
No big deal.
And Jason Alexander.
We can't wait. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.